The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you so much for joining us for one more episode of Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are Jesus apprentices. We are trying to love, serve, be like Him on this ongoing, lifelong, transformational journey. Well, it is good to be with you, and today we'll be studying about the time that the shepherds went to visit baby Jesus. But before, I want to remind you about Jesus apprentices motto. We live for a goal. We have a target in front of us where we are walking through, looking forward to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That is the motto of Jesus' apprentices, and we need to keep that in mind. Being a follower of Jesus, being Jesus' apprentice, means that we need to love God with all we have and with all we are, and that we need to love our neighbor and love ourselves. Throughout this journey, we are on the third week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We have a memory verse, a verse that we select from the verses that we'll be reading from that week. And we point out to this verse for the meaningful aspects that the verse brings. And we try to memorize, to repeat every day. So here is the memory verse for today, or for this week. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has visited and redeemed His people. Repeat after me. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has visited and redeemed His people. Powerful. And we are studying this moment that God visited His people in flesh and bones through the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And yesterday we studied the moment of the birth, and today we'll be studying the first group of people to recognize and understand what that little boy meant for humankind. But before we go to the Bible verse and reflect and try to extract a few lessons for our life, I want to give you a time for you to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself to be before God. And we know, according to Hebrews 4:16, that every time we come to God, God is waiting for us, waiting to bless us. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. So, being sure of this promise, that as we approach God, God is waiting for us, that He has grace and mercy for us, I want to give you 1 minute for you to prepare yourself to be in God's presence. And then, after this minute, we'll go and dive in the Bible verses for today and try to learn important lessons for our life. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings and the opportunity that we have to approach you and have a relationship with you, for having an experience with you. Bless us, Lord. In a special way, I pray for everyone that is listening to my voice, that your grace and mercy will be upon them. Forgive our sins, Lord. Bring us peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So yesterday we studied the first 7 verses of chapter 2. And today we'll go from verse 8 to 20. So somehow Luke doesn't give us a lot of details about the birth of Jesus, what happened. And I wish I knew it. But Luke is trying to build an account and a message here. A message that is being introduced or presented to those that don't know Jesus yet or just accept Jesus. Remember, Luke was a fellow companion of Paul. He was going to city, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ among the Gentiles. So he's telling the story to them. So he thought that was important to bring to the attention what is happening right now, starting in verse 8. So that night, there were shepherds. What night? The night or the day that Jesus was born, on that night, there were some shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. So not far from Bethlehem, around there's some shepherds. Interesting that somehow Luke had mentioned directly to King David, the town of David, Bethlehem. And what we're seeing here is the fields where David was keeping his flocks. On that same place, there are other shepherds taking care of their flock. But there's a very important aspect here that sometimes we don't realize. Why we have some shepherds here? Why we have flocks here? You see, Bethlehem and that area is not far from Jerusalem, around 5 kilometers. And the flocks from Bethlehem and the area were used primarily on the services of the temple. So the lamb that the shepherds were keeping were the lamb that would be used as sacrifice in the temple. As you know, many people came far to worship at the Jerusalem, at the temple in Jerusalem. And they couldn't carry with them their lamb. So they would buy at the temple, close to the temple. So those shepherds, they're attending to the sacrifices to the temple. But now, they are called to pay attention to the true lamb. The Lamb of God, the true sacrifice that will give his life for sins. That's so beautiful. But the Bible continues. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Somehow we see here the third time of angelical manifestation. First to Zechariah, second to Mary, and now to the shepherds. Somehow, each time, God has a special message. And he's using the angels. For the readers of Luke, they understand that comes from above, from the deity realm, not from human level. It's something special. Is from God. And as natural, humans, when they encounter with spiritual matters or with angelical beings or God they are afraid of. And I can see the first readers of Luke, those that worship many gods, pagans, when they think about God and God's manifestation, God's messenger, they are afraid because they were afraid of God. God was someone that they had to please and appease, and they need to provide sacrifices so the gods are okay with them. But here, the God of the Bible is a different God from the pagan God. He's a loving God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says that God is love. And 1 John 4:18, and please pay attention, 1 John 4:18, and I encourage you to read that, says that where there is love, the perfect love, the love casts out fear. Because God is love, we're not supposed to fear God. So the first words of the angel to those shepherds were, verse 10, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid of God. He's a loving God. He loves you. He cares for you. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Hey, you don't need to be afraid because I'm bringing good news. The first good news that we see here is the news of Jesus. And this news is of great joy. You see, joy is the reaction of an experience with God. We see this joyful description with Elizabeth when she was when she met Mary, and she was controlled by the Holy Spirit. She was joyful. Sometimes Christians, the followers of Christ, are not known as joyful people. But we should. We have the good news. We have the hope of the world. And what is interesting here is that somehow Jesus is giving in the context of the Jewish people. And even Zechariah on our memory verses say, hey, bless the God of the Lord of Israel. So it's Israel that is visiting his people. But now Luke, who is the most inclusive of the four gospel writers, he said he'll be the great joy to all people. All nations. He's not just the joy for the Jewish people, he's the joy for everyone. He's the joy for you today, the joy for me. And he continues, and pay attention, the titles, the attributions that the angel refer to that one that was born. The Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord. Has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. So, just a moment here, Bethlehem. Bethlehem comes from two Hebrew words, Bet, house, Lahem, bread, the house of bread. So, the bread of life came to the house of bread to feed us. And where was Jesus put it, the bread of life? In a manger where the animals ate. Look how interesting is that. So in the house of bread, God is providing bread, life for his people. And there's three main words that the angel uses. The first, he is the Savior. This boy that was born, the great news is that the Savior is here. Wow. Savior is not the government. Savior is God. And then he says, he is the Messiah. Some versions say the Christ. Because, you know, Jesus Christ. Well, we usually think that Christ is the surname or last name of Jesus. Oh, he's Jesus Christ, right? But Christ is a title, is a translation to in Greek of the word Messiah in Hebrew. So he's the anointed one, he's the Messiah, he's the one that was prophesied in the Hebrew Bible. He's the one that will guide us and deliver us. So he is, this baby is the Savior and the Messiah, connecting two things. And now he says, he is the Lord. He is God. He's not just the Savior. He's not just the Messiah, but he is God. And he was born in the city of David, fulfilling the prophets, like the prophets Micah 5:2, where the king, the Messiah, God would become flesh in Bethlehem. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, laying in a manger. You see, who are the first ones to receive the message of the Messiah? It's not Rome. It's not the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. But simple, humble people that are working at night, keeping their flock. I think that's a description that the kingdom of God goes against the kingdom and the values of this world. It's not about power of the government. It's not about the rituals of religious life. Christ, Christian life, is something that happens in a daily basis, in a daily market, in common life. You see, Christianity is not to be experienced and expressed inside of four walls during a worship service once a week for a couple of hours. But the experience of Jesus, the relationship with God, needs to be a daily movement. We must experience Jesus daily. And the daily functions of the day and schedule and aspects of life. And more than that, we need to express Jesus on those environments. We may come to a worship service to celebrate what happened in the daily life, what happened with God and us, our experience, we walk with him, and how we were able to love people and serve people like Jesus. So we come to worship service to celebrate that experience. Not to experience itself, God there, but to celebrate, to report what we have experienced in Jesus Christ. And the angel had to give a sign, because yeah, they had their own vision. They was expecting, okay, the Messiah is here, the King, the Lord, the Savior. Yeah, so where he is? Is he in Jerusalem? In Rome? Tell us. We want to know. And the angels say, hey, no, he's in Bethlehem, just close by. And you identify him by simple clothes, like everyone. Christ is the one that walks with everyone, that comes to the humble, that is real. And that's so powerful and beautiful, presenting this image of God that is relatable, that we can relate to. And then, as the angel was telling those things, suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the arms of heaven, praising God and saying. So, for the first time, the angel is not by himself. I believe that probably the angel that broke the news was Gabriel. And now a lot of angels come, and they start worshiping, singing, praising the Lord. And now they sing a song, a short song, verse 14. We know this song. We sing some of these words during Christmas times and on carols. And one of the beautiful exercises of spirituality and walking with God, experiencing with God, is imagination. Sometimes we like to be, what's the truth? What is real? And that is important, that there is a space. But on this walk, we need to give a space for us to imagine. So have you ever thought, who wrote this song that the angels sang? Why they decide to use this message? Have you thought about that? I have a theory. Or let's say, not even a theory, I have imagined that maybe the one that wrote this song was Jesus Christ before he incarnated. I can imagine Jesus coming to the worship leader in heaven and saying, "Hey, in 9 months, I will be born. I'll not see you for 9 months. But I have wrote a song that I would love for you guys to practice throughout these 9 months and sing at that night. Here's the song. I'll see you in 9 months." I'm not sure if that's the case, but I like to explore and imagine. And here's the song that the angel sang. "Glory to God in the highest heaven." Yes, we need to glorify this God, not because we have fear of him, but because he's powerful, loving, kindness, merciful. So glory to this God that is visiting his people, that is paying attention, that came to save, even though when people turn their back to him, he needs to be praised. And peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Interesting that the word peace here carries the concept of shalom. Sometimes we translate shalom as peace, but shalom is the most comprehensive blessing that you can offer to anyone. Shalom in the Hebrew Bible carries the idea, I hope you have health, wealth. I hope that God will give you friends. I hope that God will provide prosperity. I hope that you have a family. I hope you have life. I hope you have protection. I hope you have salvation. So shalom is the most comprehensive blessing. And it's interesting that Jesus, the baby that was born in Isaiah 9, is called the Prince of Peace or the Prince of Shalom. He's the one that is able to fulfill all these promises. So glory to God and shalom be a reality to God's people here on earth. And God wants everyone to experience that shalom. That shalom must be a reality to all people. It's great joy to all people. Verse 15, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So the angels run to Bethlehem. Oh, sorry, the shepherds run to Bethlehem. That's what we see. Verse 16, they hurried to the village and found Mary. And you can see that, have you seen a new baby born? Have you seen a new baby born? I need to find it. And I can see people coming. It's a few houses, right? And people are agglomerating, coming along. Where's the baby? And they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel said to them about the child. He is the Savior. He is the Christ, the Messiah, and he is Lord. You see, the first ones to declare to share the good news about Jesus. We're not leaders, religious leaders. We had an experience with a religious leader already here. Zechariah, he didn't believe. So God is giving the message to the poor, to those that are simple, to those that are humble, to for them to share. This message of Jesus Christ is not for a special group of people, for educated people, for those that went to the seminary. This is a message for everyone. And the first to declare that Jesus was the Savior, that He was the Messiah, the Christ, and God, the Lord, were shepherds. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. The people that he heard, the family that was there in the house where Jesus was born. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. What that means. Did you remember that song, Mary, Did You Know? Right? What a powerful song that guides us to imagine Mary holding the baby and thinking about the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. God is faithful. He has visited His people. And the shepherds were the first ones to receive this message. Not the Jewish leaders, not the government in Rome, but simple shepherds. Have you shared Jesus Christ with others? The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. And how I share, Pastor? The best way to share is loving and serving, being like Jesus. Loving and serving like Jesus, being like Jesus. That is the most powerful way that you can share Jesus to all people. And I pray that you have your experience with Jesus like the shepherds had their experience with Jesus. They had something to tell because they experienced the baby. And you have something to tell when you experience the baby in a daily basis. So take time every day to walk with Jesus, to be with Him, and to have a relationship with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for the story of the shepherds, how they were visited by an angel and how they found the baby Jesus. Help us, Lord, also to find baby Jesus and understand that He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is Lord. Forgive our sins. And give us, Lord, opportunities to share your love and serve others like Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Well, here are the questions for you to reflect on this account today. And the questions are, what is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? In what way has God loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? According to God's example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? And how can I share these lessons with others today? Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram of the Rescue Worker. You can find all the links on therescueworker.com on our website. And I pray that you have a daily experience with Jesus so you can share that experience with others through the love and service. I hope to see you tomorrow when we finish our third week of this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.